Oh, I like this one. You guys ready?
Let's do it.
I was addicted to the hokey pokey, but I turned myself around.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
All right. Welcome back to the Playing Through Golf podcast. My name is William Starsfitch. I'm joined with, we'll go Chris around Lopez. The horn, Chris Lopez,
Travis White,
and Jacob Harris.
And so we have taken a slight hiatus. And the hiatus is even actually a few days longer than we had originally anticipated, because we spent an hour recording this the other day just to find out that it was a bunch of muted talking heads because I didn't do any audio. So I was trying to blame my tech support, but she threatened me with not cooking me dinner. So
I will take the blame. You better zip that lip there, brother.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm out. So we are one day removed from the Genesis Invitational, which saw the Spaniard and the Arizona State Sun Devil, John Rahm. I think he started the round with a 3-stroke lead.
Yep.
And finished with a 2-stroke.
Yep.
What is that? 3 wins in 5 events. And it puts him back at the top of the world ranking as number one.
Yeah. He's finished in the top 10 in every tournament this year.
Yeah.
That he's played in.
I think I saw something with his, if it was handicap index, he'd be like a +8 or something.
Yeah.
So going around the horn, my official one is like a 7.8, but let's just say a 10. So he would have to give me a stroke, a hole, phrasing. Anywhere we went, and I feel still like he would just trounce the shit out of you.
Oh, he beat the crap out of me.
I know, but I'm just saying 18 strokes, like that's crazy. A +8, which means like most courses he would play, you know, whatever the slope rating is of that course, he's basically shooting, you know, low 60s. Every round,
right?
You know, based on index, it blows my mind.
Yeah, it's
insane. That how many strokes you gotta give Travis?
You know what? You know, you're probably pretty close to that, Jake.
Pretty close.
I'm pretty close.
Pretty close.
Pretty close to that. I don't know. We'll see. I haven't seen Travis's game in quite a while. Like, what did we got out? We got out what, late in October or November? We got out at Palmer.
Yeah. Something like
that. It was November.
November?
Yeah.
So, you know,
early
I actually
November.
If that you
was,
were to look
actually
at the
election day.
Oh, was it? So like was that the 12th?
Yeah. No, the week before that.
So anyway, yeah, we got out right before the weather turned. And I'm gonna say I didn't really get a strong, you know, that strong of an opinion on Travis's game because it looked just like it always looks.
Mm-hmm.
I played a handful of times.
I'm just saying that's what it looked like. Yeah. So, yeah, the Genesis Invitational, which is basically in L.A., it has a long history with, especially for Tiger, who's the host there now. That's where he made his professional debut, I believe, as a sophomore, I believe, in high school. Chris, do you remember what you were doing as a sophomore in high school?
Let's see here. No, I don't. Shit,
it was not playing in a PGA event, though.
It was definitely not playing in a PGA event.
Yeah.
I think my parents were making me go find a damn job.
Well, if I had my driver's license at that point, I can tell you exactly what I was doing. I was skipping school. Mm-hmm. I was skipping school and driving to my girlfriend's house so we could skip school together when she was feeling under the weather. Anyway, so
is that John the only Rahm, thing she was under?
Oh, yeah. a gentleman doesn't discuss such things, fellas. Unless we have a couple of whatever. So part of this event, this was the same event that Tiger had his accident. No, it was during this event, right?
I believe so.
Was that 2 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was with
it was like the week after the tournament.
Yeah, because he was with like David Spade and
Dwayne Wade, I believe.
Dwayne Wade
that week.
Yeah.
Out partying? No.
They were shooting a commercial, weren't they?
Yeah, they were doing some on-course lessons or something, I thought.
Yeah, and then it's on YouTube.
You can watch them.
Yeah.
And then I think it turned to drinks and whatever.
Yeah, it's pain management, I'm sure. Absolutely. But it was so great to see him. And I don't know if you guys saw the interview after. He basically set his schedule for the rest of the year. And I'm only playing in the majors.
You know, and well, he said he'd play in a few other tournaments.
Yeah, only if his body responds to it, or allows. So at least we're guaranteed that what is it, something like 47 days until the Masters? Does that sound right?
Somewhere in there, yeah.
April 6th through the 9th for the Masters.
Right. So this week is, I believe it's the Honda, and then it's the Players, right?
Yeah. So, it's 2 weeks. 2 weeks to the Players, I believe.
Players is the 9th through the 12th of March.
Okay, right on. So perfect. With let me see the leaderboard here. You know, I'm not a huge Max Homa fan, but I was really rooting for him in this event.
How can you not be a Max Homa fan?
I don't know. God. Well,
because he messed up his last name the last time we were on this.
Yeah, that's probably why he's feeling pretty bad about that, I'm sure.
I had the wrong emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Oh boy, emphasis! Oh my lord.
Hey, so Cantlay finished third. Homa. Fuck, I did it again.
There it is again.
Got
Max
him.
Homa second.
There it is again.
Cantlay.
Is that considered Freudian?
It is a little bit of a Freudian slip, I think. Will Zalatoris, even did you? I know Travis picked up on it. Remember at the PGA Championship last year when Will Zalatoris was in the running. And that putting stroke came in where he Billy Mayfaired the crap out of it.
Oh,
it was,
God. Yeah.
Was he does that every time.
Yeah. He did on another short one.
Yeah.
He did on another short one. And he missed that putt, but he still finished well back. I don't want to say well back because he's finished fourth overall. But then the one that I thought was awesome, the birdie on the 18th hole for Mitchell, that actually put him into solo fifth. I haven't seen what the numbers are, and I'll have that up for the next time we're here, but that made birdie putt on 18 probably made him tens of thousands of dollars instead of being in a tie.
$100,000 at least.
$100,000 because the way they
I think it was at least $100,000 because they were talking about a couple people that moved, like Colin Morikawa, when he like doubled his money making a couple birdie putts down the stretch. He was like at 350,000.
Oh, yeah. He went birdie, eagle, birdie, I think.
Yeah. And then he ended up making 700,000. So he made himself in those three holes. He made 350,000.
Isn't that crazy?
That's nuts.
I mean, and for a guy that, you know, Keith Mitchell, I've seen him on like some YouTube channels, especially one that I want to talk about here in a minute when we start talking about Liv. But he's not a very personable guy out on the course, it doesn't look like. But he just crushes it, man. He was like, I saw a couple 183 ball speeds out of him. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's huge.
Well, he did an on-course thing two tournaments ago, and it was actually pretty interesting to hear his take on it because Homa had done one the tournament before that and did a good job, and it was kind of fun, and then he goes on to win the tournament. And then so they did it with Keith Mitchell, and he did one, but it was a great conversation between him and his caddy. Before that, and talking about what club and this and that and the other, and it ended up being a great shot. And the caddy was the one that made the call. It wasn't Mitchell. And so then when they interviewed Mitchell, he got on there and says, look, that was his call. He goes, he gets the full credit for that one.
He gets the glory.
It was a good conversation. Pretty monotone, but, you know, not like Homa, who was, you know, he's out of his mind crazy sometimes. If you ever watched his Twitter. So, but it was, I mean, he's well-respected, that's for sure. And you know, people like playing with him. Nobody doesn't like playing with him. And, God, the guy who's kind of like Tiger couldn't putt it. He couldn't get the ball to fall.
So did you, for those that have already watched some of the full swing, did you see who finished tied for sixth with the likes of Morikawa and Kuchar? Actually, that's the only ones there. It was the one of the guys, Thigala. Am I saying that right?
Oh, he
was
Sahit.
Yeah,
Sahit, yeah. Thigala.
So he finished great. I mean, he, you know, tied for fifth in that event at Genesis. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's got to be a great payday for him. I believe he was one of the Battlefield promotions from the Korn Ferry Tour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He won the Korn Ferry Tour, which gave him the exemption for this year. So he played well at Scottsdale too.
Yep.
And then come out here and at Riviera go tie six.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say his card is probably fairly secure.
Yeah. They said that he just needed to do real well in the first few tournaments and his card was going to be fine. Personable kid too. I met him at the Classic last year.
I thought he was there, but I couldn't remember.
Yeah. He was there and really nice guy. I mean, just a really nice guy. And then kids of, you know, the kids from, you know, say India and things like that were following him around in droves, which was a hoot because you don't, you know, it's something new for them as kids. You know, they've got somebody they can identify with now. And so, you know, I think everybody likes Tiger, but then when they get somebody who has their own nationality, I think it makes a huge difference. And the story and on the show about him was very interesting as well.
I thought the about him, I thought was great. And
who's the guy on that same episode?
Mito Pereira.
There you go. I couldn't remember his damn name.
Yeah, he went to Live.
Did he really?
He went to Live. He went to Live.
You know, and not knowing his backstory before Full Swing, I didn't realize he was that much of an older rookie.
Yeah. I didn't either.
Like, was he 26 or 28?
27.
27. Yeah. I just, and he had his chance at Southern Hills.
They said he gave the game up for a while.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, and yeah, he had his chance at Southern Hills. I thought he had it.
He did. Yeah. He hit drive.
That last drive.
Yeah.
He changed his entire stroke. I remember the announcers going bonkers. They go, "What is he doing?"
Dude, that follow through he had on that, it looked like he had
a senior. Seriously.
Just left it all out there. Oh, it was terrible looking.
Oh, and then, you know, the whole thing with his wife just losing her damn mind.
Yep.
You know, and Joaquin Niemann, you know, and his boys, all the Chileans were all watching. They're like, oh, shit.
I had no idea he went to Live Tour, which a good segue here.
That was just announced 2 weeks ago.
Why? I don't understand. And let's kind of kick over to the Live Tour, because there was something I wanted to talk about that a little bit. I want to go to an event this year, which I know seems kind of sacrilegious for what I'm, you know, saying right now, but I want to go just to kind of check it out and to see for myself, because I haven't watched any events. I haven't watched it on YouTube, which is the only thing you could watch it on last year. A few highlights here or there, but to sit through an event, I don't know that I'm going to tune into the CW.
No.
You know, in between the flash runs to watch that. Mm-hmm. You know, so I kind of want to see what the big deal is, and I'm not sure their business model. How can that business model sustain? You're paying guys regardless. There's no cuts, so everybody.
Well, they said they made zero money last year. They made zero money as a
tour. They had to hemorrhage money because of all these contracts they were paying. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's going to fail personally, but that's just me.
You can only only operate like that so long, and somebody's going to get tired of spending money.
Right, and then the guys will be like, "Well, I want to come back to the PGA," and then they'll be like, "Oh, fuck you."
Yeah. How much? Okay, that's fine. You can come back. You just have to go through the qualifying.
Right.
Yep.
You know, just like everybody else.
And you know, and I think that they're going to start to see that the quality of golf is going to go down. You know, they've been showing highlights for all the games. Some of these guys have been playing on the DP World Tour while they're waiting for the first Live event, and their scores are horrible.
Horrible.
So the DP is letting them play.
They're letting them play. Yeah. So they were showing a Poulter the other day who I don't know why anybody, you know, at his age too. I mean, he's as old as Tiger is. And
same age actually.
Yeah. And he was chili dipping balls all over the place and about ready to. And he's playing in shorts with long socks.
Socks.
Yeah. Hey, he looked like a freaking idiot.
So I'm going to lump Phil in this same one as Ian Poulter. Poulter. Huge Ryder Cup guy. Like, yeah. I don't know if he ever actually lost a point in all of his Ryder Cup.
Never.
So he's big on the Ryder Cup. He wants to be a Ryder Cup captain, you know, cement that legacy. He's had plenty of worldwide wins. I don't know what his career earnings are, probably something like 20 something million. You know, you should be able to keep the lights on for that amount. Right.
Right.
But he more than doubled his career earnings on the signing to go to Live, right. It's something like 40 million that he was getting.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was all worried about legacy and whether or not he could be the Ryder Cup captain eventually. Well, and that just kind of shot it out of the air. But you can't hold up a mantle in one hand of I want to be the Ryder Cup champ, knowing that if I have my hand out for some cash the other way, they lay the cash in your hand, that takes away the Ryder Cup. You know with the change out, you know, what are you giving up? You already know. It's not a secret.
Right.
So he still did it. So I don't feel bad for him at all. I never liked the dude. And I'm not going to say you chase the money. Go ahead.
Yeah. I mean,
get yours, man.
Yeah, I mean, every one of those guys that's gone. I mean, Pat Perez, there was one I think we talked about it when it first came out about Liv. You know, go get the money, dude. You know, he's been a journeyman his entire life and really, you know, hasn't made a lot of noise in anything. So go earn your money, dude, you know, but don't be a dick about
Chris,
it.
And Chris, how long was Perez on tour? 20 years?
At least that.
I mean, he was out there with Pat, with Gomez and all those guys.
Oh, yeah. Right? I mean, that guy's been around forever. And I mean, he's finished in the top 10 in a few tournaments. And he's, you know, I mean, of course, he's known for the flow. He's known for the harem of women that used to follow him. I mean, when he was here at the John Deere Classic, I mean, you know, he was married, but there was a bunch of young girls following him around as well. And then there was like legendary poker nights, you know, at one of the casinos with him and his caddy and the whole court. And the guy is terribly funny. I mean, his podcast, you know, whenever he was on a podcast and talking about the tour, you could always count on him to really tell some good stories. But, you know, since he's been to Live, nobody will touch him. I mean, well, nobody's inviting him anywhere.
If do a comparison between. We'll wait for Travis to get through parenting.
Mm-hmm. Stay in here. Go to my room. Damn kids.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Mason just threw the basketball at my head.
If you look at Pat Perez's career, and let's say he was on tour for 20 years, he probably finished in the middle of the pack, say 70th ranked,
right,
golfer.
Yeah.
So you take how Pat Perez behaves in comparison to Joel Dahman,
right?
Right. So, and Joel Dahman's kind of become, you know, the, I don't want to say anti-hero, but like the people's choice right now.
Yeah.
Right. Like
everybody is all about it. As a matter of fact, I just got a thing asking me to sign up for a chance to have an all expense paid trip and play golf with Joel Dahman. And I'm like, of course I signed up for it. I'm like, I want to play with Joel Dahman. Right.
Well,
was it at Mesa Country Club?
Where is it?
Was it at Mesa Country Club?
No, it was through the clothing brand, the Travis Scott.
No,
Travis
he's a rapper. Yeah, Travis Matthew.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
didn't Dahman do a thing though in Arizona where he like said, you know, he was done for the weekend and he's like, hey, anybody wants to come out and play for a little, you know, play for a little extra cash. Little extra cash and a bunch of people.
I thought that
up.
Was the other one that very similar.
He's a member Kisner. At Mesa Country Club, I think.
Oh, is he? I thought but that one did, was Kisner, with
the
Chris.
With the Foreplay podcast, they did Mesa Country Club. He did against the Foreplay there, and then they did Max.
And then I think he had something with good. He did something with good too, right? Or at least a couple of the guys on good.
Yeah.
That's
and I think he's also done it with the Barstool guys too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Barstool and Foreplay, are they the same group? Or are those two different guys?
They're
the same guys.
Yeah,
they're different things, but it's the same guys, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I thought they were different.
But I think you're right, Bill. Kisner did one of those things. Mm-hmm. Actually, Max Homa had done one of those things.
Yep.
Where, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of them that have just said, yeah, you didn't make it for the weekend. Anybody want to come play? Let's go.
Right.
Max, so. The weekend, Max Homa won. That following Monday, he went to a local place and won a skins game or some shit like that.
Yeah, yeah. Went to the men's league or something, right? Or
was it like $600 or something? Or it might.
Do you remember where that was at, Jacob?
I can't.
Papago. No. It was at Papago.
Yep. No,
which is one of the city courses owned by the city of Phoenix. Yeah, they did a bunch of work to it. Is Papago the ASU course?
No, it is now.
Is now okay. Yeah, it was one of the old city courses that he did it at. I can't remember if it was Papago or not now. But that so the Live thing, the way that they're set up, there's no cuts. It's team events, right? And they do a shotgun start.
Well, allegedly, it's a team event.
Yeah, but then, kind of a weird vibe. To it, but they're done in 4 or 5 hours as opposed to the long, drawn out day on the PGA, the poor things. Now, what I'm trying to tie that into is the success of a couple of YouTube channels and some of them that we just mentioned. One of them was Good, which is the fastest growing channel at one time. They went from nothing to 1 million subscribers faster than anyone had. And I'm kind of curious what the tie-in is to a thing like Live, where it's the instant gratification and you're only doing it 3 days and they had it on YouTube and you're doing a different form of the game as opposed to traditional stroke play, because a lot of the events they do on Good Good are 2v2s or 4v4s or 3v3s or 2v1s, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But how fast they grew and shortening up that time to hold people's attention. Do you think that had anything to do with the growth of YouTube entertainment golf as opposed to tournament golf? Because it's a totally different format than what we're used to seeing in traditional golf, like Korn Ferry or the PGA. So I don't know. I can't help but think there's some kind of correlation between all of it.
Well, there's definitely a correlation to it, don't you think? Because
I do.
I mean, because seriously, anybody who records golf, you and I, we put things out on video and things like that, but we don't do a lot of the things that we don't play for money, for one, unless it's Travis. And then, you know, then you're taking his money, or it's Jacob and he's losing his ass. You know,
but we'll do a rematch this year, Jacob, and you'll get your money back, I'm sure.
But I think that, you know, people that put it out on video, they are showing a different style of golf that none of us really have. I mean, as an old guy like me, I'm old school. I don't have any, you know, wanting to get into that kind of stuff or play for that kind of scratch because, well, one, I like my money, and two, and I'm not confident enough in my game to be playing for that kind of money. I mean, I'll play for a few bucks here and there, but I won't play for hundreds of dollars.
I have this much confidence in my game, but the good thing is I usually have less confidence in the people that I'm going against in their game. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah. But I think that I do think that this has had something to do with it, because people really like to see people, you know, either lose their it's also not so much the instant gratification. It's the instant somebody got their ass kicked and they're losing money and they have to walk between the tail between their legs off the course.
Well, it's there. And there's a big thing about it now too, is it relatable golf to watch, you know? So if especially when Good first came out, which I remember like the start of the pandemic is when I really started watching it, and these guys all had their own individual channels, you know, Garrett and, well, Micah didn't even have his own channel at that time. Grant wasn't even there and all this stuff. But when they first put Good together, it was all these other guys coming together with their other channels. And then they were just playing against each other. But they were, you want to talk about a business. And that's actually what Good started as. It was these four guys, or actually it was more than that. There were supposed to be six of them originally. And they put Good together and then they just went gangbusters. Like they just took off. Well, I didn't know it at the time. And I really didn't find out until a couple of the members recently left to do their own thing that was a corporate owned thing. A corporation bought them and brought them all into Good and is basically their employees of Good at this point. And that really ruined it for me, honestly, because I just thought it was, hey man, I'm loving it, man. I'm living vicariously through these 20 somethings that their entire life is going out and playing golf, right? That's all they do. And they play against each other. They laugh. They have a good time. And I'm sure that there's the other side of it that we aren't privy to, but I just think that it was kind of a really cool concept that they did. And it really kind of, like I said, took a little bit of the wind out of the sails for me when I found out it was corporate owned.
Yeah.
Kind of sucks ass, man. You know, and now to be honest with you, I watch a lot more Bob Does Sports than I do the other because of the relatable golf. So, you know, I can keep up with Bob, right?
Like, right.
I can play with Bob and Cold Cuts and those guys.
Cold Cuts, yeah.
Yeah,
Cold Cuts.
Yeah.
Cold Cuts is hilarious. And, Fat Perez, I mean, he hits some good shot. That dude is a good golfer, you know?
Nah, he's
good.
Right.
He's legit good, right? Like,
He is.
Yeah, all I kept thinking was like, oh, they got a Fat Perez. Well, we got a skinny Harris. What?
He parties a little harder than I do.
Yeah. You what?
He parties a little harder than I do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he looks like it, too.
He's rough.
Yeah, he's rough, man.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt. But you know, you flip on the other, and it's, you know, you're seeing Garrett Clark and Grant Horvat and Micah Morris. These guys are all piping it out there 330, you know, that they were all college golfers and could have been probably more. Like Micah, that's part of the reason that he left Good is because he wanted to do his own channel, but he also – you know, is aspiring to play in, you know, professional events. know, so he's got a partnership, and plus there's all this sponsorship with different clubs and all that. And like I said, it just kind of became so corporate to me that I fizzled out on Good Good, which I really loved watching until I found out kind of the business behind it.
Yeah. I never knew it was a corporate thing.
Yeah. And that's why Micah and Grant left, is because there was, you know, a pull or draw on their time that they weren't able to do their own thing. They're right. Like, yeah, well, I want to do this and this. Well, no, you're obligated through Good Good to do this and this for Good Good week that they put on.
Yeah.
And which I loved watching it, but now it kind of, like I said, lost a little bit of luster for me on it.
Yeah. I think that you're also going to see this year that's going to come around. It started on Twitter, but now they're starting to, I think they're going to take it to a streaming format, is the Monday morning qualifier. There's a group that follows the Monday morning qualifiers, and they all talk on Twitter about, you know, who's in there, how many people are in the field, you know, things like that, which is why you see some of these crazy scorecards where like people are trying to Monday morning qualify and they shoot a 98 or 110,
whoops,
you know, and things like that. But I think there, again, that's going to be relatable golf, is that, you know, there's those people out there that think, oh, I could go pro in a heartbeat and I can do this stuff. And they don't understand what tournament conditions on a golf course means and the distances mm-hmm. from which they have to hit, you know, and yeah. what team, you know, and things like that. But I think that Monday morning qualifier is going to actually become more hilarious, because they've produced some scorecards that were hilarious to look at, because, I mean, there's guys scoring like 15 on a hole. And things like that.
Oh, I like it.
I'm gonna do it.
I like
yeah.
it.
Travis. Yeah.
Fuck it.
Yeah, because you're
I'll go do it.
You know, the way the PGA and most of their men's professional, you're not getting those super short par threes that I don't even want to say super short, you know, mm-hmm. 150 or whatever, 160. Right. You don't get a whole lot of those. Now the occasional one you will at, let's say, Torrey Pebble. Down the hill. Yeah, super small yep. green. Maybe, you, yep. know, you might get one around 100 or even less, but it's at a postage stamp downhill with the wind coming off the ocean, you miss it a foot, right?
Yeah.
You're on Black's Beach.
Right.
So it most people can't grasp what the rough looks like either. Like for Torrey Pines, I know I've told you guys the story before, but in 2008 for the US Open, when we were there doing the grounds work, we had an entire crew and they were called the Fluffer Crew. And that's all their job was to stand up the rough around the greens. So they had a leaf rake and they were just fluffing the rough up. So if it landed there, it would just disappear. Now at Riviera, you didn't really get a chance to see that this year because it was so cold. It was so rainy that the Kikuyu grass the Zoysia didn't really go nuts. Mm-hmm. So between the Zoysia and the Kikuyu grass, and that's why you saw when it would land in the fairways, it was no release, because that's a different type of turf.
Right.
It's designed for that kind of climate, and it's really spongy. It's stoloniferous, which means the root system is up higher at ground level. So when it hits, it wasn't going to release and kick on. That's why you kept seeing them stop. If they were trying to land it short of the green, it wouldn't kick on.
Like yeah, they weren't not like you'd see something here where you'd land it short and let it run onto the green. Yeah, they were stopping well short in many cases.
Yeah, it's not something like it at St. Andrews where, you know, it's going to chase for 50 yards onto the green. You know, that this thing wasn't changed. They weren't chasing 5 feet, you know, it's like
right. dead.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's why it looked that way, was the weather. I know Chris was asking me about that the other day, but
yeah.
So, you know, I know we were going to talk about some other sports, but I'm really kind of on a golf tangent right now.
Yeah, let's stay with it.
So let's kick back to John Rahm and that way that world ranking is. So he's now world number one, which I find, like, if you were to go off the old system, because I think it was Scottie Scheffler was world number one right now, right?
Right.
Well, didn't he just win at the Waste Management?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
So 2 weeks later, he finishes out of the top 10, or at least out of the top 6.
A week later. Yeah.
And Rahm wins, and now Rahm's it. That you would have never seen that back in the day, because mm-hmm. it took the majors into account, and it was almost a full year ranking. Because Chris, you remember Tiger took off like 7-8 months. And he was still world number one.
Still world number one.
At one point, right? You couldn't do that now, which I think is interesting the way that they have it, that it could change. And they were saying that if McIlroy would have won and those other two would have finished out of the top 10, he would have been the world number one.
Right.
So I think Tiger's
record. He was number one before. Yeah, he
was.
He was number one before Scheffler, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
So I just think it's kind of crazy the way it's going to bounce around now more. So you know, you're never going to, Tiger's record is going to be safe if they leave it this format.
Oh yeah.
There's absolutely. No way. Oh, absolutely. Around that long.
No, absolutely not.
Sure. So for Rahm, let's kind of go through what his bag was look like, right? His golf bag, his clubs and his golf bag.
That's good.
Disclaimer.
Nice save.
Yeah, but thank you. Mm-hmm. I do what I can. So as, for driver, he had has the new Callaway Paradigm triple diamond at 10.5 degrees. We won't go through the shaft flexes. Three wood, he's rocking the same thing at three wood at a 16 degree. Five wood, same thing, triple diamond, 18 degree. His irons are Callaway Apex TCB 4 through pitching wedge. Wedges, Callaway Jaw Raw, 52 degree, 56 degree, and a 60 degree. And then he's got the Odyssey White Hut, and he plays the Chrome Soft X. So, Travis, what are you rocking?
I have a Simmax driver. I can't remember what the loft is on it.
Like 11.5, isn't it?
11 something.
Is it 11.5?
No, it's a solid 12 degree loft.
Is it? 12?
No, we changed it.
We did. We lowered it to 11. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then I have Simmax 3 wood, M2 or M4 hybrid, and then 5 or 6 iron through sand wedge, Sim 2 irons. A 54 or 58 degree wedge and a TaylorMade Truss putter, center shafted putter.
And what ball are you playing?
I usually play Bridgestones now.
Whatever you can find.
Or whatever. Top flight bombs.
Yeah. Out there. Where's those nitros?
Yeah, swing hard, look up early.
Wow, they even make those damn things anymore?
God, I hope not.
I'd freaking find them every summer though, for some reason.
Yeah, right. So, Chris, what are you rocking?
Titleist T300 irons. I have, what is it, 5 wedges. Three of them are from Kirkland. But I've put one out of the bag. The 52 is out of the bag now.
Oh, good.
So we've got 56, 60, 48, and a 44 wedges. I have a three. It's a three. Yeah, three through pitching wedge. Yeah, three. Well, if you ever look at the strength of my game, it's the wedge game. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. My wedge game is where it's at. I have a TS3 driver, a TS2
TSI
hybrid. TSI, yep.
At 9 degrees.
At 9, yeah, I think it is 9 degrees.
Yep, it is.
So, and then I have a hybrid, and then I'm looking for a 3 wood.
And you're going with what's
going on? Well, I take that back because I added a 4 iron in the late last year, 4 iron, so it's now 4. So,
and I know you're going with Vice Pro Plus or Vice Pros.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob, what you got?
I got the M5 driver. I got the M6 three wood and hybrid. TaylorMade wedges. I'm not sure what. Actually, I might have one in here. No, I don't.
Do you have a high toe on one of them? One of your wedges, the TaylorMade high toe? No.
It looked weird. I don't know. I didn't want to try that. It
was okay.
Spider putter. And then, of course, like we mentioned the other day, the irons.
Yeah.
So pure. I said, there was almost like they were never hit. Like it just, they feel perfect to me.
I don't think they were ever hit well.
So. They weren't. No, the face is perfect right there in the middle, right in the sweet spot, right where I hit it.
Yeah, the toe was a little scuffed up though.
And
the reason I say that is I know that he was rocking the TaylorMade M2 Tours because they went directly from my bag to Jacob's golf bag. Like I said, the middle of the face was still perfectly live. It had never been touched.
Yeah.
Those grooves were very, very fresh.
Hopped right off. Yeah.
Just so I'm currently playing the Cobra LTDX for my driver, 9 degree. My 4 wood is the Cobra Speed Zone 4 through approach wedge is the Mizuno JPX 900s. My 56 degree is a Titleist Vokey, and I have a 60 degree Cleveland low bounce special, circa 1995, 96, somewhere around there. He doesn't leave the bag much. He's just there for decoration.
You can't hit that club worth a
shit. No. Yeah, that's why he's just there for decoration.
Worth a shit.
He's just there. So I'm rocking, you know, all 14, including my Cleveland Classic Huntington Beach mallet putter that's cut down to 31 inches because I'm not the tallest dude. But, and I TP5 on the golf balls.
Hey, let's talk about Travis's horseshit putter.
There's nothing wrong with my putter.
That thing is the ugliest damn putter. Yes, that is the ugliest ass putter in the history of putters.
Are there any changes in the works, Chris? Like, I know you're going to add a three wood.
I'm going to add a three wood. Right. Yep, I'm going to stick with my putter. I'm just going to change the grip on it.
I was positive that Travis, after watching any of the Riviera tournament, where I don't know how many times we had to see the forgiveness.
Oh, God damn it.
Forgiveness?
That commercial, they also need to be punched in the face.
I loved it. More times I saw Tiger go, I'm still hearing four or far, but whatever. Yeah. I just thought that was awesome, man. That whole commercial was great.
It just got old.
The Stealth 2, right?
Yeah.
TaylorMade Stealth 2.
Whenever we get a rep at work.
Okay. So that's what you're going with. You're waiting for, you know, some kind of discount. Which I can't say that. Except for Chris's. Chris, none of yours were pro use cost, right?
What do you mean?
Your irons?
Oh, no, nothing. I paid for everything myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
So working in the golf industry, which we all here have, as a matter of fact, between all of us, I bet we've got probably 50 plus years in the golf industry.
Right.
I'll say I've been on 10.
I'm on 18.
I'm on at least 25.
I only did three.
So 18. Yeah. We're
55.
Yeah. So we're over half a century in the golf industry.
Yeah.
Boy. Not sure whether to shed a tear or what right there. That's kind of.
Yeah. I'll drink a beer to that.
Mm.
Yeah. We're not bitter about anything.
No. It's going to be a great year, actually.
Yeah.
You know, as a matter of fact, today was 50 degrees, and we were scrounging around looking for a golf course to open today.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until about 1 o'clock or 1:30 that I saw that Rustic was open in LeClaire.
Eldridge.
I'm sorry. Right. Chris.
What's the course right next to the interstate in Galesburg?
Bunker or Tsongwataha?
Swangie.
Yeah, Swangie, you can see from it.
Yeah, they were open. There's people out playing when I drove by today.
You get some members out today, Jacob?
Oh, I wasn't working. They can go out there anytime they want. Yeah.
Yeah, the figures. Oh, yeah.
I'll say I saw a few people out there when the boys and I were driving by.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
I'm out here at the park actually getting ready to hit balls once we're done here.
Are you really?
Mm-hmm.
You just get work on your short game or what are you doing?
No, I just hit balls towards the train out there.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right. I like it. You know what? Growing up south of Iola, my dad would like go scrounge golf balls when he would play over at Hawthorne, bring home, and I'd hit them all out into the bean field in front of our house. Then mm-hmm. I'd have to go out there with a 5-gallon bucket picking up from golf balls.
Mm-hmm. We would hit them. I lived out in the country. Once we tore down our old barn, we had a big flat spot on top. We would go to Walmart and get the big mesh bags,
mm-hmm.
and we'd hit them across the road in the woods, see how far we could hit them.
Yeah, that was our whole thing, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly. I grew up, you know, outside of Iola, which is a metropolis in itself of 800 people. But you go 4 miles outside of town, you know, third gravel road on the left, past the cemetery down the hill. That's where I lived. You know, I could hit golf balls all day. Matter of fact, that it doubled as our shooting range too. Like you didn't have to worry about anybody out there. But yeah, that's kind of where I, you know, cut my teeth playing golf was in the yard, hitting out into that bean field and then going, you know, shagging up balls after that.
We would try and hit our mailbox from our front yard, which was probably maybe 1:30. We'd see how close we can get to the mailbox. I did not come close.
Yeah. If we were going for the shorter shots. It was 110 yards to the barn and it was a metal roof barn. So you could, you know, take your wedge and you would try to ding it off the top of the barn. Yep. And then dad would get all pissed when there was dents in the top of the barn, you know, from golf balls, or when I'd skin one and hit it right into the door.
the only thing I could do in North Denver, which is of course a very crowded city, is that we had a 6-foot privacy fence, and I would sit there and hit flop shots over it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that was the only golf I would do unless I was, you know, unless I had practice the plastic practice balls, I would hit those. But
yeah,
other than that, if I was hitting real golf balls at home, it would just be flop shots over the fence.
Nice.
Try to hit them into a bucket.
So what do we got next week, guys? The Honda, right?
Yep.
Yep.
And you guys remember where that's at?
Do not.
Florida. And then where's it at? The Palm Beach or somewhere?
I was thinking it was in Louisiana, but you could be right. Like I really don't know. That's one of those flyover ones. Like I can't wait to get to the Players and then the Masters.
Right.
That's kind of when it feels like our golf season kicks off here.
Yep.
Is like when, you know, the Players, it can be okay out. Like, matter of fact, Chris, I think we went down and played in Peoria when you're the same week as that. Mm-hmm. Early March is pretty iffy if we're going to play golf around here.
Well, no, given the early weather this year, I don't know. They're saying it's going to be a rainy spring. And they said it's going to be a rainy spring.
Well, 50 degrees today was awesome.
Yeah, you don't get that in February often. Mm.
What do you got, Travis?
I was trying to see where it's at.
The Honda?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Travis, what do you – or Jacob, what do you got going on this season? You going to keep working at Private Club over in Galesburg?
I got to talk to them soon. Swung and Taha, I just work kind of bag room, help out in the shop, do a little bit of everything. Nice and easy where I can kind of pick and choose my schedule, my days and everything.
Right.
I love the members there. I'm getting to know them pretty well. And, you know, for me trying to do, you know, golf events and stuff, I can, you know, get sponsors. And I know a lot of people. I can hopefully get them out to the course and everything.
And speaking of that, when's the Jeppy?
It'll be Saturday, May 6th, 1 o'clock at Bunker Links.
So book your spot.
Yep. 1 o'clock shotgun. We got a bunch of, we're going to try to do some different little side games, you know, make things a little fun. Last year we did a change where we did 2-putt max, bogey max. And I think it sped things up, you know, little things like moving up on tees. We're going to have a straightest drive this year.
I think it'll be me.
Well, actually, I'll have to go to the Big Bertha if I'm going to do that because the Cobra is not moving.
But what we're going to do is usually at Bunker, there's traditional holes that you do like long drive and close to second shot. So we're going to switch it up this year and just do some different holes for a different look. The course is kind of short. So my brother likes to do it. We go back from the tips there just to kind of make it longer, but also have that option. If you do move up on a couple of the holes, it gives you, you know, bigger disparity in the distance and everything. I did have one question I wanted to ask you guys though.
Yep.
Since we're talking about scrambles and stuff, if you could pick three other guys to golf with, non-professional like athletes, who would you pick to golf with you?
Oh shit.
So not golfers or not athletes at all?
I would say you could do like no current athletes.
No current athletes. Oh, anybody else got a fresh one? What do you got? Well, let's hear yours, Jacob.
Well, I was thinking of it the other day, and I would do me, Shane Gillis. He's a kind of an up-and-coming comic. Hilarious. Yep. Pat McAfee and Johnny Manziel.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Those are some interesting ones.
And Manziel's a stick, too. Golfed. Yeah, no, he's trying to become – I think he's trying to get his Corn Fairy.
He is.
Card.
Yeah.
Like, that's a solid one right there.
That'd be interesting. Handle.
Yeah, I don't want to be the corny guy and be like, you know, Gandhi and my dad and blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to say, like, I would really like to play with Bob from Bob Does Sports. I think that dude is freaking hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah.
And who else would I go with? Oh, man. And I'm going to steal Travis's here. Bert Kreischer. I think that'd be hilarious.
Oh dude.
Oh, my God. Oh,
and,
Jesus.
And Joe Rogan. I think that's what I'm going with.
Really?
Yeah.
Bert, I would golf with Bert.
Yeah, I think
he'd
that's
be probably my first one. Bert Kreischer would be my first.
Bert and Shane Gillis were just out in Tempe. If I was out in Arizona, I probably would have. I would have rather gone there than gone to the Waste Management to go watch Bert Kreischer and Shane Gillis live.
Yeah.
Nice.
I watched. I saw Bert Kreischer down in Moline. In shit, when was that? January.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I think he's coming to maybe December. I think he's coming to Peoria.
It wasn't that long ago.
He's coming to Peoria March 26th or something like that.
Real soon. Yeah.
I might do that one because I didn't get to go to the one that you went to.
Oh, dude, he is fucking hilarious.
I just think it's awesome that the movie Van Wilder was based on that dude.
That's amazing. He's making a movie called The Machine about when he's involved with the Russian mob.
Oh, mm-hmm. My.
Yeah, I've seen that bit.
That is a funny bit.
Yeah. Oh. I didn't see the bit. I was they were talking about it on air, and I don't remember if it was Rogan or the two bears, one cave. Is that what it's called? Yeah, I can't remember if it was that or I just thought that was awesome, man. Like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
he's a funny dude.
Yeah, Bert Kreischer. I can't remember his name. He plays in the Lake Tahoe thing every year. Carlton from Fresh Prince.
Oh, that guy. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say, like, was it Jack Wagner or John Wagner? Like the guy from the soap opera that always finished in the top five, Chris. Like,
oh, God. No.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Something like that.
Real pretty boy with his hair all combed over, Travis likes him.
I do not.
Don't start that rumor.
Awesome. That's awesome.
I don't even know who my fourth one would be.
I'll go.
He's a current athlete, but.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Current athlete. So I'm out.
I was going to say like Steph Curry or something like that, but he's obviously still a current athlete. But I don't know who the fourth would be.
And he'd beat the brakes off you.
How about John Shire?
No. He's kind of on my shit list right now.
Who?
John Shire, Duke's head coach.
Ah, okay.
Hey, you go grab me a beer.
He's the only reason he got kids right there.
There it is.
There he goes.
Hey, yeah, look at this stack he's got. I wish I had kids here. Will you go get my gummies? Oh, guys, I want to divulge a little bit here. And I wish we had a screen share. I'll send it to you guys. talk amongst yourself for a second. I'm going to send you guys this. And you let me know when you get it.
Hey. Yeah, throw them away. Those are your moms.
So the guy running this shit is really fucking horrible, isn't he? Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he's back. Never mind.
Yeah. The headphones were still working. I forgot to mute them.
Don't throw that away. Thank you.
I didn't know if you had the audio on or not.
Who knows on the recording? No telling. You know what's funny is I literally just had watched the Pat McAfee show.
Oh, boy.
And he was talking about it where he was like, oh, the times we were down in the basement of the haunted house and we were trying to record it, and the hours and hours we recorded that we didn't really record. And he was talking about that, and I'm like, what a bunch of jackasses. Yeah. And then I fucking just skipped the whole recording process. It's just a video of us talking, no audio whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So did you guys get what I sent you?
I did.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So it was kind of the end of an era right there.
Where's it coming through at?
I sent it to your phone. So what had happened was cannabis and cannabis products are legal here in Illinois. So a buddy of mine bought me this little pipe and I was cleaning it. And
it's not a little pipe.
Oh, it is. It's not very big. So anyway, I broke it. And then I'm going to say I had like a little minor anxiety attack yesterday. So I had to run to the store and buy a new one. Because I couldn't possibly get through the day knowing that I didn't have a pipe there. Is that an overshare? Too much of an overshare, guys?
No, not at all. Okay. How much did the pipe cost?
The new one?
Yeah.
It was only like $30.
Oh.
I didn't go with a baller one. The dude had him in there for like $100, man.
Oh, have you ever gone to into a head shop?
Well, that's where I went to get this one, but I was like, there was a big row and it was like all
glass monstrosities. They got some ornate ones in there.
Boy, I said, hey man, what do you got for less than $50? And he was like, ooh, I'm like, oh shit, I might be in the wrong place.
He might be putting holes in a Pepsi can if you keep it up.
That's how we did it in the Marine Corps, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pepsi can, put some holes in it. Yeah, mm-hmm. No, it wasn't quite mm-hmm. as legal.
I think I had one of those in my car all through high school.
Well, you know, in Denver, I don't imagine you wouldn't have.
Well, and I hung out in Boulder a lot.
Actually, so. Well, I'm surprised it wasn't a Coke can, you know, being Mormon and all.
So, oh, Jesus.
God.
No.
What an ass. No, okay. What an ass.
But speaking of the cannabis products, I actually attribute that to the round, hitting my target rounds this year. I think it's the CBD, and it's mellowed me out a little bit in the golf. I only broke one club this year, which is a bonus for me.
Yeah, but that was late in the summer, so you can't say that that calmed you down that much.
Well, the beginning of the summer was a little rough.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
I said the beginning of the summer was a little rough.
What do you mean, breaking club-wise?
No, just you not being mellow.
Oh, I thought I did an outstanding job. I didn't beat anybody up.
Why is he trying to bring up shit? Like,
yeah, I thought I was pretty calm. I thought I did pretty good. I didn't beat nobody up. I didn't threaten to, you know, draw hands with nobody.
No.
Not until the other day when... Well, not until the other day when the dude, you know, pulled up next to me and flipped me off. And I invited him to draw hands. But that was a totally different thing.
Yeah.
And then I like had my window down. He's yelling at me, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, then pull over, big mouth. Fuck, pull over.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, no, I seriously do, Chris, because like the goal every year is to break 80, right?
Right.
Did it 3 times this year. And this was like the first year that I really was on any kind of gummy regiment. And mm-hmm. I think it helped me. Like, and I don't know if it did or not, but I felt like it did.
Well, I felt like we played calmer this year. I mean, we didn't really pout about our rounds or anything, I don't think, this year. I thought we just played and we just accepted the fact that, well, today's not our day, so let's just keep playing.
It either is going to happen or it's not going to happen.
Right.
And every one of the rounds that I broke 80 this year, I started out 3 over par on the first two holes.
Right.
And usually that would have just been like, okay, well, fuck it. You know, but kept going through, kept trying to hit shots, and, you know, ultimately got there. But speaking of, Travis, what is your goal for rounds and your target score for you to try to shoot this year?
I'd at least want to play, not including scrambles or anything like that, I don't know, 20, 25 times.
Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and say that's kind of weak sauce.
Yeah,
I have 2 kids and they play.
Multitude of sports.
You have an empty house now.
Yes, I like it.
Empty. Oh, that's the best. Yeah, that's the best.
It is.
And then I can't remember what I shot at bunker that day. It was 84, or whatever it was. I would like to get around that again.
So you're saying mid 80s playing 20 to 25 times this year?
I would like.
That's your goal?
Yeah.
Chris, what do you got?
Once I'm out of school, I want to play at least 4 times a week, but I want to try and, I think I ended up with over 60 rounds last summer. You know, most of them, a lot of those were 9-holers. They weren't 18-holers. They were just 9-hole morning rounds, you know, or our typical Saturday morning over at Pebble. You know, things like that. But I want to play as many rounds during the week as I can. And just my goal is going to be mid 70s.
So you're saying you're calling it now, a 75 is your goal?
My 75 is my goal.
Okay.
I do think it's attainable.
Okay. I do too.
Mm-hmm.
Jacob, where are you at?
I like to golf 25 plus times. I usually play in about 10 outings a year, if not more. But I got a couple
ten scramble outings or just 10 outings? Like, I know you played in the Knox County Amateur and stuff like that.
Yeah, 10 total. Because, you know, I got a couple personal majors, like the Knox County Amateur 2-day tournament there, Oak Run. Played in it with my dad growing up. And
nice.
It's just one of those kind of special events that I'll shoot in the mid to low 70s the first round. And then it's always low 80s the second round. I haven't figured it out how to play 2 good rounds there. The Calcutta and at Midland.
Not Kewaunee Dunes anymore. Hard to not say Kewaunee Dunes.
Yeah. Yep.
That's a fun one. Just with the auction after Saturday night, just go there. All the guys are there. You just hang out, drink a little bit. some drink more than others. Those are the ones usually that have to tee off early on Sunday, which is weird to me, but but they were also probably drinking throughout the day, and that's why they are teeing off early the second day.
Yeah. So Valley View, have you played in their Calcutta yet?
No,
they're just putting it together, right?
They've had it a few years, but it seems like it gets canceled with weather. So it always gets pushed back, and then it's always on another weekend where there's something else going on for me where I can never play. I've only played it twice, but really once, and that was within that scramble with you guys. And that was one of those where you and Chris were hitting fairways, and then me and Jimmy were pretty much just like
ripping it,
trying to. And it's like I wouldn't have probably hit that many drivers if I played, you know, normally, because there are a lot of them I'd be hitting, you know, hybrid or something out there.
Right.
But I didn't really get a feel of the course. Actually, I didn't feel too good that day. I didn't play well at all, but I think it was hot. Wasn't that really hot that day?
It was a hot day. That was a really hot day.
Yeah. I was like, was that Orion Boosters or something?
I think it was the golf team.
That was Brett's event. And it was. Yeah. It was hot as balls out there. Yeah.
Then they gave us pizza before the round. So then you're just sitting there like, oh.
Well, I find it a little surprising that you were saying 20 events, your 10 personal type ones that you really like, and then 20 to 25. Jacob, that's it?
Yeah, I don't really get out and golf much. I'm usually working throughout the day. And then by the time I get off, I'd like to get a pass out at bunker. So I wanted my buddy who just got his stem cell transplant. I'm going to see if he wanted to maybe get a walking pass and that'd be something he can. Yep. He can get out there and go kind of, you know, walk around. But then I have a couple other buddies that said if we were to get some golf discs that we could go to the local disc golf here and go do that. And that'd be another thing. I grew up playing disc golf, actually.
Did you?
Really? So I am going to
be putting one of those in on the island here, probably in what, Travis, less than a month.
I don't know.
Yeah, we've got an area dedicated for one. We're going to do a 9-hole disc golf.
Just that and the cross-country skiing.
Yeah. Do you guys know anything about this? Had you guys play or know anything about it?
No.
I have no idea.
I have actually a bag of discs in the garage.
Do you really? Because we have the baskets and everything, all the cages for it. And, somebody was on a whim and they're like, oh, well, we should put this out there. And we're like, oh, I wonder who that's going to fall to. And then,
Of course, there you are.
Of course, there it is.
Hey, so, we'll see if what you guys need now is the soccer ball course.
You know, brought up too, and we put the kibosh to that.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
What are we up to? 70 acres on 9 holes that we have to cut?
Yeah. Yep. We have to maintain 70 plus acres for 9 holes. That's crazy. Most 9 hole courses are going to be, 35 to 40.
Yeah.
Like I'm imagining Country View is probably in that 40 range because they're all so close together.
Yeah.
Geneseo Country Club is like 35. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I remember doing the measurements for it. That's like really close together and just in that little block. Me and Chris played a majority of those rounds together. I think I probably got right around 50, Chris. And it was a lot of those are 9 holes because we would go out on a Friday evening or Saturday mornings. And then the 18 holes was usually a Sunday morning. We would pick a location and we would drive to it. Like one of them that I was going to ask Jacob, was it Baker Park? Is that in Kiwanis?
Oh my God. That was a hoot.
Have you ever played there, Jacob?
I played there long ago. All I remember is hitting over a road to a hole that's like up on a hill.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did not know that it was going to be that way. And of course me and Chris walked this thing. The front nine wasn't bad. And
the front nine was flat as all get out.
There was guys that are like, oh, this should be interesting because we tee off and we went down 10, 11, 12, whatever. And then we hit the hilly part and we're like, holy bejesus.
Yeah, because there was guys coming. They were coming back to the clubhouse and they're like, you guys are walking? And we're like, yeah. And he goes, oh, wait till you get to, what is it, hole 13?
I think that's the par 3 that you're talking literally about, Jacob.
Going up, what was it, 17, Bill? It was like climbing Everest.
Yeah, it was.
We actually sat on the benches on the 18 tee box trying to catch our breath. I'll still walk it again, but man, I did not expect that.
Yeah, we'd never played there. So that was actually one of them that we played this year for the first time. And then another course that we played for the first time this last year was the one in Iowa City, Chris.
Pleasant Valley.
Mm-hmm. I loved that course. I thought that was a great course.
Is that the one right off the interstate?
No,
it's off of six.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so if you go If you go west, or no, you go east of the campus on six, there's a bunch of different little like restaurants and things like that. You just take a right,
breweries and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just down the road from there. So yeah, it's just, it's south, south of six. So it's on the west, the east end of Iowa City.
Did you need a tea time?
What's that?
Did you need a tea time?
We got a tea time, and I believe it was a Sunday morning, and we were 6 a.m. first or second off.
Jesus.
Yeah, we played in 3.5 hours or so.
Well, we left, each of us left, I think, around 4:45, 5.
Yeah.
And we got there, and they had a tournament that was just getting ready to go off. And so we squeezed out before those guys. They didn't start until, like, I think 7 or 8.
Yeah, we never saw anybody the rest of the day, though.
We never saw anybody until we got to around the back nine, and we saw everybody out on the course. But, man, that was a fun course.
Yeah, same designer as Palmer, which don't hold that against him because I think Palmer sucks.
Yeah.
Highland Springs is the same designer, and Hawthorne Ridge was the same designer.
Yeah.
And Hawthorne Ridge would have been the course I grew up playing, which is since closed. But you could kind of feel that vibe and the way the greens undulated and all that. It was a great course, and I hope we go play
easy walk a couple too. Of times.
It was a good walk.
It was a really easy walk.
Yeah, it was a good walk. A
couple of real narrow holes too. Some big trees or some properties on the left or the right, and a lot of OB in the first like, four water. Or five. Yeah, a lot of water. Mm-hmm. So
for being in Iowa.
Well, you know, on 18, I mean, Jesus. I mean, you didn't know the course, so I mean, you definitely don't want to hit driver there the next time. I mean,
because I almost put my driver in the water.
Yeah, you almost put yours in, and and I almost hit a shot into the water, not knowing it was there. So. Yeah.
I'm just glad they let you guys play and didn't refund your money, you know, like a couple days beforehand, like the Iowa basketball team did.
Really?
Oh, to the
the Orange Crush?
Orange Crush, that's it.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Don't put it under the goddamn Boys and Girls Club, dude.
Yeah, dumb idiots. Shit.
Whoa.
They do it every year. It's known.
Not anymore. Yeah. It's not.
They should have tried to keep it a better secret.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and the other thing about that Pleasant Valley, remember how friendly the staff was?
Yeah.
That's one of the places that is actually the friendly staff, or like down at down in Burlington too. Their staff was great.
Spirit Hollow?
Yeah, they were a lot of fun too.
We got to go back and play Spirit Hollow. That was fantastic. I know you guys have played it, Jacob and Travis, right?
I've played it.
No, I don't think they let you walk that, do they?
No, I don't think they let us walk. I don't think they were.
Yeah, I don't think I would have wanted to, honestly.
No, that's a tough course. That'd be like walking Deer Run.
And yeah, and part of that,
it's like 110 to play all day.
Yeah.
You know, we actually were looking at some of the stay and play things, like go up there
and play.
You know, you're able to play two or three times in one day, and you could spend the night, play the next day.
Yeah, go to the casino, whatever.
That was a great course.
I gamble enough. I don't need to gamble.
Yeah, but you've been winning, man.
Yeah, on the machine, not in golf.
Well, do not gamble. Well, hey,
that's not the wiener dog.
I've heard about golf.
Nope, this is a lab.
Okay.
Yeah, Travis, is anybody listening to you on this end, Travis? Because I think you're down, 680 to 40?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine.
When are we going to finish up that nine-hole series? I'm 1-0.
Yeah, you are. We're going to go gangbusters on it this year. That's why I'm a little disappointed that you were saying 20 rounds out. I think we should get 20 rounds of nine holes in just in match play.
Well, we have to
nine
do the...
holes isn't a real round of golf. Nine holes is just
I know, but that's play. But that's a lot of goddamn video to edit.
Yeah,
we have to do the beer drinking one.
Ooh, 18 beers.
You see where they
holes?
Did,
right?
You see where they nine did holes. The three of them for 50 tacos?
Oh,
I did.
Bob does sports.
I want no part of that.
Nope.
Jacob, there's how many tacos though. Could you eat? Yeah, how many tacos could you eat though? You weigh what, 130 pounds? I'm giving you the benefit there.
I could take in nine holes. I could take out. It wouldn't be 10. I'd say maybe like 7 or 8.
See, yeah, that's no good. What about beers? So the challenge would be two person scramble, right, Travis?
Mm-hmm.
18 beers, 9 holes, and you have to break 40?
Is it 40? Yeah, it's 40.
And Chris, I'm going to take a stab and say you're not in on that.
Absolutely not.
Man, so that's me and you, right? Because Jacob, how many, are you a beer drinker, Jacob?
Not really, but
you're the best golfer out of it, though.
Once I start drinking, if I can get over the taste of it before I get drunk, then I can usually drink all day.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. No, that's definitely not me.
But I don't usually drink when I golf. Like, I can't remember the last time I would say I was actually drunk on a golf course, because
mine was a bachelor party 20 years ago.
Yeah, I usually want to try to hit golf shots, but you know, hey.
Well,
I'm down.
I cannot do all 18 by myself. I mean, I probably could.
So what were we thinking? You would do?
I'd do like 12.
And then I would do the remaining. I would only have to do six.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right, Chris, how many can you take down?
What, beers?
Yeah. In nine holes.
In nine holes, two, and I would be silly.
All right. On that note, let's wrap this thing up, guys.
All right.
And then we'll rally up, guys. And we've got to get that booked, Jacob, for our a match play. And then I definitely want to do the 18 beer. And I'm not sure who I want as my partner. I'm going to assume Travis, just because otherwise there's no way I'm drinking at least. I don't know if I could drink more than six beers and hold a golf club.
Maybe we could do something like, I don't know. I'd
mix in a gummy here.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm going to go ahead and say 20 milligrams each.
Oh,
and 1 hour later, I'm whooping the shit out of you guys.
Oh, Jesus. All I'm going to be
is. Are you on, Jacob?
The only thing that would happen there is
that's gummy related or anything that's cannabis related, I feel like I could hold my own out there.
All right.
I'm gonna say is I'm gonna end up in the pro shop eating Funyuns. That's all that's gonna happen.
So I think
my problem is
I think you and Jacob and Travis and me and Chris, 20 milligrams each.
Oh, I'm
two man scramble.
I'm in.
But I don't even know if we need to record this.
My problem is I would take the 20 milligrams, but
and
I'm
then wash
going
it down
to
with a
drip
couple of beers. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like I'm probably going to do here in about a half hour.
Oh, well, it's almost 4:20. So I've got to get going.
Yep.
So, all right, guys, we'll wrap this up and we'll get it next time.
All right.
See you.
Later.
Now see if it recorded. Hang on here. I had this up earlier. What the heck?
Are we talking about the podcast or something else?
No.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I thought I saw a Fire Lake hat bobbing up and down there. Mark.